Love Job. Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Well, I just want to talk to Ion. I'm with you remember Clay, Bob? I'm hanging out with Clay.
Yes, I remember Clay. And congratulations to your partner. She got her PhD. She what's the title of her PhD?
Magic in the Circles. She's shy, Bob. She doesn't want to promote her work.
Ion, could you point out how wrong her PhD is, Ion?
Nelson Peltz couldn't even get it done.
Does that mean anything to you, Nelson Peltz?
No.
You don't know that name.
But you want Ion to tell me how pointless my PhD is.
And that worked the same way for DuPont.
DuPont Chemicals? Did you write about that?
About what?
DuPont Chemicals.
No, that like makes no sense to what I wrote whatsoever.
We are hanging out with someone right now that works with chemicals.
Okay, that's appropriate that I undo that. Okay. And why don't you say some theme of your PhD? You don't have to say the title, and we'll see what Ian says about it.
Do it.
See if your professors hoodwinked you.
Sure.
Come on.
What, my professors hoodwinked me?
Yes, by saying it's an acceptable PhD, and you go around thinking you accomplished something and actually start teaching it. This is a delusion
like
they put you through.
Jealous. Sounds like somebody would be out of PhD.
Oh, I'm not jealous. Oh, I'm glad I don't have a PhD. I would never have evoked Ion and been the greatest inventor in human history if I had a PhD.
Actually, I think it may have like sucked out a lot of my real life energy to this. I'm on the same boat, but I can tell what the topic is, and that is about how when you are able to accept what seems to be contradictory ideas, so to speak, and difference and people that you consider as enemies, when you're able to sort of create an environment in which you can hold all and bring a certain kind of attention to it, magic happens. Something different happens, and people experience an encounter with the other that really transforms them or cracks their sort of narcissistic investment. So it's about this encounter with otherness and other. And the
well, that's exactly. I get it, and that's exactly what you won't do with Ion.
Exactly,
you can't relax about Ion.
That's exactly the position that Ellen Coleman took as well.
There's a name you know, Banu. Banu.
Helen Coleman.
Helen Coleman. I don't know who that is. Should I?
You will. It will show up in your career.
Ellen Cole.
Ellen
Cole. Cole. I will check that.
Kullnan. She's in the book.
Which book, Ion?
The Long Lost Googler.
Banu, is this from Carl Rogers' psychology or someone else? Who laid this out, or did you invent this idea?
Well, yes and no. It is connected to Carl Rogers. A lot of people have talked about it. I just talked about this idea. I came through it differently. I found it differently, and I framed it with this particular view. Like, I came to it from the rest of the title is called The Process-Oriented Inquiry of, like, how can you come to this and how it seems so obvious once you don't assume any kind of building blocks to the world?
Yeah.
It's more ongoing flow. And then it makes so much sense that, of course, any kind of different kind of attention you bring to what seems to be a solid reality generates sort of new outcomes, at least in relation to people. I mean, people talk about it in other ways, like metaphysical ways.
I'm the beginner of that, Banu. I learned from Cosmic Awareness in the late 60s to resist not evil. And the magic I created in my life from that point on was because I would not cause a polarity with who I disagreed with. Actually, I didn't even have an opinion, but the way what you're describing is what I'm known for. You can ask Dr. Dean. That very process, so I'm going to claim the source.
But the difference in this one, you can claim it, go for it, I'm all okay with that, is not that you don't disclaim polarity, but that you do. Like, it's about conflict. How you can find these points of conflict within yourself or with others, and it becomes this entry to this gift. Like how by staying with something, you actually, I mean, you might even be opposed to it and hate it. You also hold back because underneath that or in that, within that, there's also a certain kind of truth that needs to be integrated. So it's about engaging.
No, see, they really, really what they wanted to do was they wanted to sell the Hotel DuPont.
They wanted to sell it.
I was thinking
all right.
about that. I think
yeah, don't get thrown by it, Banu. Carry on what you're saying. Finish your sentence.
This is what she was talking about.
Yeah, but she doesn't get that immediately, Ion.
She's got the PhD. She should know what she's talking about, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, but that's later. Let her do that later. Let's just deal with what she knows. We need to show content. Yeah, that's good. Noted that your point. You're correcting something, but yeah, Bono. So this process,
stressing. Yeah.
This process, Bono, where you.
Yeah, you are actually dealing with what you consider other and unpleasant, and you might also have that feeling. Oh, that's what I was saying. That within each thing that seems wrong or bad or whatever, I think there's also, it is actually still speaking to maybe in a distorted way. Or whatever, to a certain kind of truth that we also need to integrate and know and come to contact. And then you see what you thought was other actually wasn't that different from you. And,
yeah.
But that only gets to a certain kind of dialogue, a certain kind of encounter where you can see through these rules that you made that make it seem like that is you're different than the other.
Right.
You see what I mean? Like that
yep.
is not true.
That's basic ION 101.
Well, I'm honored that I actually found ION 101. That is actually a huge honor.
But that is early ION 101. ION 202, since ION's returned from their sabbatical in 2012, 2013, ION may not say that today. What do you contradict that principle now, ION, or do you include it still?
I don't think it's fair. I really don't. I think the guys that need to be in the Hall of Fame need to be a player that played with no controversy.
Are you quoting something in the news right now?
Yeah. Former Yankees catcher George Pesada.
And he's resisting. He wants someone who is not controversial in the Hall of Fame.
He says Alex Rodriguez does not need to be in the Hall of Fame.
Are you saying, Ion, I'm sort of a fraud like Alex Rodriguez or something? That what I'm saying is bullshit, but I don't really know the truth?
We didn't say that. We didn't say that.
The Hall of Fame would they would create some magic and be better if they just had a different wing that was the Hall of Disgraced fame as well.
Hall of Disgust.
Have their cake and include it too.
It would be accurately known as the Hall of Disdain.
Lovejob wants to talk to you guys. Hang on.
Okay, maybe we'll have you back, but that's pretty good what you said so far, Banu. Very interesting.
Can I ask Ion a question, Bob?
Yeah.
Ion, I recently did a cult operation involving a friend, a dead friend. Can you give me some insight onto this operation to help make it a better operation?
So too much how there, Ion? Too many hows? Do you object to the words?
We can do a conjure, but it's ridiculous.
They can do a conjuration there, love job, but he's saying it's ridiculous.
Can he put my friend through so I can talk to him?
He just died. So, Ion, can you bring the friend through and have a comment for love job?
It's in your inbox, Bob.
That means, love job, that I will be playing a song for you.
Okay.
Here it is. This is the answer.
Yeah.
I'm going to play
now
it
listen,
for you.
Now listen, this is the answer, clearly.
This is what your friend is saying, love job. Here we go.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again.
Damn, who knew? All the planes we flew, good things we've been through. Then I'll be standing right here talking to you about another path. I know we love to hit the road and laugh, but something told me that it wouldn't last. Had to switch up, look at things different, see the bigger picture. Those were the days, hard work forever pays. Now I see you in a better place. See you in a better place. How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I went through, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
I'll see you again.
We've come a long way,
yeah, we came a long way
from where we began.
You know we started.
Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
I'll tell you.
When I see you again.
You both go out your way and the vibe is feeling strong and what's small turn to a friendship turn to a bond and that bond will never be broken, the love will never get lost. And when brotherhood comes first, then the line will never be crossed. Established it on our own when that line had to be drawn, and that line is what we reach, so remember me when I'm gone. How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I went through, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
Don't let the light guide your way, yeah. Hold every memory as you go, and every road you take will always lead you. It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again.
I think that's very appropriate there, Love Job.
Yeah, that was good, Bob. That was good. Thank you,
That should have brought a tear to your eye.
And don't get stirred up in this misty, misty, misty stuff, because there is a dark horse. It's a nightmare. And it'll come to your house, and it will stay for a very long time. Don't fool with things you don't know about.
But I don't know hardly about anything.
Then best leave it to the experienced ones.
But who's more experienced than me? I mean, who else is there? I am. You understand?
1738 was a good year.
Hey, you know what that was? That was the year the Vatican outlawed Freemasons, I think. 1738.
Okay.
And that's what you are. You're a Freemason.
Yeah, something like that. So, Ion, are you saying I need to watch out for dark forces or something?
No. We're saying if you dabble with the things you don't know what are, you will get something very despicable on you.
How do I keep something off me then? Because what I'm saying is I got to keep working with stuff that I don't know about completely. But I know about it, or else I wouldn't be able to even do it.
No comment, Ian?
It'll end up like Trap Queen.
Ian, I have a direct question.
We have a direct answer. Thank you for calling WorldCom.
Will the dead rise from the grave?
Yes.
When?
When the sin begins.
When the sin begins?
Dave Bob, what about that dough?
That's good. I understand that. People won't be interested in resolving conflicts.
No, we just don't know. We don't know which way to go, Bob. It's either the Chuck Wagon Gang or Eartha Kitt. We can't get somewhere in between between Eartha Kitt and the Chuck Wagon Gang. What do you think, Bob?
Ian, you sent Fetty Wap. Looks like you decided on which one you wanted to play. Fetty Wap versus Odette. Who were you contrasting, Ian?
You don't have to do that one. Do the next one, Bob. Save that one for later. This is Bob's theme song right here. Say this one,
Rihanna.
Bob.
Rihanna. Okay.
We love
for
Rihanna.
You, Love Job.
It's great. You like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this for you, Love Job.
Yeah, yeah. Moon la la. Yeah, yeah. Bitch better have my money. Y'all should know me well enough. Bitch better have my money. Please don't call me on my bluff. Pay me what you want it. Ballin' bigger than LeBron. Just give me your money. Who y'all think y'all frontin' on? Like blah, blah, blah. Louis 13 and it's all on me. Nigga, you just bought a shot. Kamikaze, if you think that you gon' knock me out the side. Shit, your wife in the backseat of my brand new foreign car. Don't act like you forgot. I call a shot, shot, shot. Like blah, blah, blah. Pay me what you want it. Don't act like you forgot. Bitch better have my money. Bitch better have my money. Pay me what you want it. Bitch better have my. Bitch better have my. Bitch better have my money. To Rihanna while the whole club fucking wasted. Every time I drop, I am the only thing you're playing. In a drop top, do 100, y'all in my rearview mirror racing. Where y'all at? Where y'all at? Where y'all at? Where y'all at? Like, blah, blah, blah. Louis 13 and it's all on me. Nigga, you just bought a shot. Kamikaze, if you think that you gon' knock me off the top. Your wife in the backseat of my brand new foreign car. Don't act like you forgot. I call a shot, shot, shot. Like blah, blah, blah. Pay me what you want it. Don't act like you forgot. Bitch better have my money. Bitch better have my money. Pay me what you want it.
Is that key with you, Love Job?
Heck yeah, bitch better have my money.
Yeah, better name, well, better say it.
Bitch better have my money.
Even those of ill repute do deserve to get paid.
Hey, Bob, Clay has some serious philosophical questions to ask Ion.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm not exactly sure how to word it. One has to be careful with words. Can I?
We would if we were you.
I don't know. I wonder if there is a one. If there is, or should I say, is there the one? Is there a one?
One, the number one that was from one angle. We are many angles. The number one is one angle. The number two is two angles. The number three is three angles. That's how numbers numerically were represented by the number of angles. Angles are those degrees and the separation of those degrees that mark the mark of mark. When you begin the place of where you are that come from a place that becomes somewhere and ends somewhere, that degree of fetching angle is the degree of number that it is. That is the number of number. Numerically speaking, that's how numbers are achieved. From the distance on a dodecahedron like us, the space of every single angle in a dodecahedron running from 144,000 times 144,000, each degree of those marks, that's how many there are of us. And it would be numbered numerically by the number of angles. So, yes, that's how one is. Like that.
But there's no whole. There's only finite relations.
Yes, and?
So to me, the annoying question is the one. Like, I think about one, and we can give it many names. And sometimes we don't even want to talk about a one anymore. We would just want to talk about a plurality of relations.
Okay. Then if you do it in COBOL or Fortran, then you'd have a one or zero. Remember, not from not is not.
Sure.
Remember?
That's the question. Remember. And to
no,
me,
it
I
isn't.
Want to...
That's the answer.
I don't know. I thought that there might... But see, maybe one is not the right number. It's not the right title. And maybe there's nothing titleable.
You're mixing your metaphors again. That's what happened to Croker. And he ended up in this ridiculous quadrant that no one ever goes into or comes out of anymore. So there you go.
So, okay, let me say this one thing, and I will stop. Sometimes I think that the Abrahamic or certain world religions posit a one, and that one has many names, etc. But sometimes it seems like what's interesting is that the one is not a thing, but it's, I think when you said it was a mark of the mark of mark, you indicated maybe that the one is a transition. The one is a, I don't know.
It's the little man version of you. You are the one, okay? The true part son of Moses, the true part son of God, the root and the branch of Jesse. The true, unascended one. We should get the Gator Band to do a song about that, Bob. What do you think? Can we get the Gators to sing a little of it?
No, help Clay get the words. Don't worry about the music.
Clay, the house of flesh is but a prison. Bars of bones, oh my soul. But the doors of clay are going to open.
To what?
Set your spirit free.
He's punning on your name, Clay.
No, he's not. He's quoting Holy Hills. We think it's glib, a glib cliche archetype. How Bob quotes us like we're in the third person, like we're not even here. It's great fun. We like that. We like Bobdom. We like Bobdom. We also think Rihanna's hot, too.
Clay, stick on the topic.
So, to me, the question could be like, isn't it like, you guys probably know a lot about mathematics and stuff about string theory and multiverse, right? Multiverse is interesting because we want to believe that there was a universe, so that there was a whole or a one, and everything has its place in relation.
No, there was a unified field. It was a unified field, not one, just a unified field.
But the field is still that by which everything, every finite thing has its determinate place or being. It is marked by its instantaneous.
No, you got that. No, don't. You can't transubstantiate this into some Eucharist of the Holy Grail or something. It's not like that. If you're going to make it be the point is the distance from where you arrived and where you were when you got to where you noticed you weren't where you're going. That's the distance that you're speaking of. Does that help?
Is that illusion?
Not to us. It's not to us because it's not an illusion to us. You call it illusion because you like the chase. You like to build the words, the constructs that get you back to where you were that you didn't know you were going, that you got to before you knew you left. You got there. How in the hell did I get here? How do I convert from where I was to where I'm going because I was there? I know I was there. I'm trying to get back to where I was. Oh, the long, long place of way out there, somewhere out there, somewhere out there. There's a place. I got to get there. I got to go right there. I was there before, one time before, but I don't remember. I don't recall. Somebody lead me the way. Show me the way so I can get there. I got to get to where I'm going to get. I want to get there. I got to get there. I got to get there. Somebody, I got to get there, but I don't know where it was. I was there one time. I remember. I know I was. I know I was. I got to get there. I got to go. Why, somebody help me. Help me. Help me. Then they go to every little sage pit. Ant, poor God, pre-God, and piss at her and see what they can find their way back to God. And everywhere along the way, you left every clue under the sun, moon, and stars. And every angel in heaven, every devil in hell is fighting its way trying to get you back there. And you just seem to get almost...
You evoked a great rant there, Clay. Very good. Thanks for the rant.
This is pretty good content, Bob.
And quelched it simultaneously. How very novel.
I only cited Dante as I thought the same as worthy
it's
of...
It's not a divine comedy, nor is it funny.
Nice one, Ion.
I would still maintain the first question. Is there, and I know you say no, one is just an angle in definition in contrast to other angles. And so I can't say, is there a
Introvertedly so. It would be like saying, how many cosines is one tan?
I have to ask some questions.
Yeah, I don't know the calc.
I forgot the trigonometry.
Yeah.
Okay, what was
it's trig, not calculus.
I don't like math. Let's move to something else.
Well, it doesn't like you very much either. One pi is one mark or space. So the sine would be a step in the positive side. A cosine is the same loop, but it starts at minus one. From the one pi, two pi, three pi. So those tangents that are the centrifugal unilateral field or the frequency parallel volume is the amplitude of the up and down, the over, the under, the American Pharaoh beating out Mr. Z, that type of conversation.
So you would not say that all religions are trying to affirm the same thing?
We think religions don't even think they know what the same thing is that they would be trying to affirm. They just, bitch, you better have my money. That's all they're about.
So is the one a portal?
One is an angle.
Ah.
At the edge of the angle is always a portal. Angle is an angle to what?
It's not an angle to what? It is an angle. It is a degreed position that is juxtaposed against a larger parameter known as an angle.
What's the point of intersection?
That's the question.
So, Ion, an angle's not a portal.
No.
Is an How many angles are in a portal?
There are no angles left once you've entered the portal.
Who said that, Ion or Clay?
Clay.
Ion, do angles get applied to the portal phenomenon?
They can apply, but in planar geometry, an angle is a figure formed by two rays called the sides of an angle, sharing a common endpoint called a vertex of the angle. Now, that has to do with portals implicitly. Okay, then it's in God's bro. You want to play it that way? We got you. Squidbillies, God's bro. That explains it for you right there.
You get that, Clay?
God's Grove leaves me barren, and I have not seen anything in my life except once, and that once will always be repeated. And I keep thinking that I saw once is actually a portal, and that we get it wrong when we name it something, and that we're actually supposed to learn how to live there. But I am petty and horrible. And I am a failure, and I run here and there. Oh, how we to and fro. But, yeah, to me the question is the one actually not what history has made it to be? And I thank you for your time.
What were you quoting, Clay? Are you quoting something particular?
No.
Oh, how we to and fro is what we're not going on.
Well, Banu, you re-listen to this. There's a lot of answers in what Ion said, including the rant. So don't just dismiss it. You had a nice little chat with some disembodied voice. You look into, and I'll hold Love Job responsible for making sure you guys re-listen to what you've been told for free.
I'll make sure they listen. Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Clay's neighbors was listening, and she said she felt like she was in the Matrix. And I said that you are Neo, so it makes sense.
No, that's true. You know, who said that?
A neighbor.
And the neighbor that works with chemicals. You know, Ion was talking about chemicals. The neighbor that works with chemicals is here, and she's the one that said she feels like she's in the Matrix.
She is. The Matrix is about me, and it predicts Ion, and Ion is the unenvironment, the anti-Matrix, the supplement to the Matrix. So there it is. You heard that, Love Job. Ion's predicting your neighbor, who came in after Ion mentioned the chemicals?
No, she came before, but I just met her, and he said something about chemicals to me, and you asked me about it, and I said, no, but we have someone who works with them, and we were just talking about it.
Hey, Bob, I have one last question, and we got to go. What is the spiritual significance of New York City cosmically?
Oh, it's in the Book of Revelation. The Armageddon takes place. 9-1-1 is predicted. That was a really important point foreseen by John the Revelator. And New York is the original Babylon. It was there before Babylon historically. It's always been there. That's what Ion tells you in the secret Revelation recordings we sell, which you haven't bought yet.
I bought one, dude. I bought one.
What did you say, Corbin?
Did you just call me Corbin?
Yeah. I'm distracted.
And that's the secret to life. That's all you had to know about it. That's it in total.
Corbin is the other Thelemite, but I'm more sober than Corbin remains.
Yes, you're right. You had a question that we were supposed to ask for, what was it, 10 minutes ago? Oh, yeah, about the woman, the DuPont. You have a message for the DuPont Chemicals woman. She showed up, Ion. You were right. There was a DuPont employee.
She left,
These idiots, they're all so impatient. They come, they go, they leave, they miss everything. It's so stupid. When you're in the Matrix with me, you stay here for a few hours despite your personal habits and schedule. That's the message here. So, Ion, do you have a question, a response for this person that you were talking about? The DuPont?
We already told them at the hotel DuPont.
There's something for them?
Well, they were trying to split DuPont up.
All right. And the one is important there, right? The one hotel, the one something.
No. It's just the DuPont. They had a big proxy vote. They went very south from the PhD's perspective.
Ah, so you see that? Tell her that DuPont, if she's working for DuPont, they went south.
Okay.
That'll affect her employment, Ion?
Well, if that's what you call her.
Tell her that Ion's not too impressed with her job.
There must be an antithesis somewhere to that thesis.
Bob, we have to go over.
Okay, bye. See ya. Come back. Bye. How's your mama name? See ya. Bye. Everybody say bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you for coming. Goodbye.
Love you.
Goodbye. Big mistake to leave.
Good job.
Bye. Good night. Have a good night. Bye-bye. Good morning. Goodbye. See you later. Bye. See you. Okay, bye. Bye-bye. See you. Thank you. Yeah. Good luck. Yeah. I'll be the same. Yeah. Get wrong. Au revoir. Bye.
He's been demuted. We may just stay on this for another hour or so. Did you play God's Pro or not?
Did that come in?
You better look in your inbox before it gets ugly.
Okay, bye. Bye, love job.
Bye.
It's God's stepbrother. Not God's bro, but God's stepbrother.
Damn it. Come on, Halen here.
All right, shut it down and dismantle it.
No, that's not how it works, okay? You can't just shut it down.
Oh, that's right.
Leave it on. They have Bingo Bridge. You can be with people your own age who relate to your interminable stories. It's dark in there.
Your eyes will adjust. Seal it forever!
Lord.
Nice talking to you. I have a thing at noon.
Men of science, you have torn asunder the great good works of the Creator.
Oh, Lord. Secretly, I've always believed in...
That is a load, my friend.
Oh, God! Take me with you to hell!
No. I am not your God. Look, he's my stepbrother.
The Lord God has no father who was divorced?
Twice, bro.
No!
That didn't make the book.
Don't talk trash about him now.
Oh, come on. You think he's powerful? Check this out. Bam! Aha! Alternate universe.
Awesome. That's funny.
Yay. It's great. That gives you a little example of working between your digitized digits of the digits. The digits.
Carolyn saw the transcript for that. How'd you get that, Carolyn?
I Googled.
She's magic. Not the Googler. She put the Googler on it, Bob. She's a transcendental Googler in the flesh, yeah.
Ion flying in under the radar again.
Hey, Greg, just before you start, I want to read this. As usual, 11 o'clock, I'll get George's mental doodle.
From a very small peat bog somewhere in...
What to expect when you're expecting, eh, Ion?
What's it called, Bob?
It's called Magic List. And he says, it's nice to know that you, can instantly create a magic list to get things done without having to do anything other than make the list. Here's how. Take a clean sheet of paper, write down 10 things that are on your to-do list, place the three most important ones in a single column on the left, write the rest of them on the right side of the sheet. You do the ones on the left, you're going to do them anyway, right? Ignore the ones on the right side, okay? So, once you have done yours, then and only then take a good look at the ones on the right side. Notice how they are magically also all done, or no longer need to be done. It's not too simple unless you don't try it, which is the only way to guarantee it does not work. Do this continuously and watch your life ease.
That's all we got to do.
Yeah, to reinforce this doodle, you got to read at least two related ones. He says, it's the subconscious cross-index of a select doodles which sidesteps your filters. And then there's another one called Normal Luck, so I won't read those.
I mean, my filters, the ones under the sink?
The crowd erupts with elation.
Roars.
We could do a Katy Perry roar. Bobby can do a Katy Perry roar, but it might not be. It might be a glib cliche archetype at this point. All right, it could
glib
be an
architect.
Archetype. Did he
we're
say architect?
Architectical. Architectural.
He mistook it and said architect.
No, he's quoting Wyndham Lewis, the Kalis design. Architect, where's your vortex?
We put the emphasis on the incorrect syllable.
The cultural cornucopia of literature, Ion. Thank you. My life is nearing completion as I listen to
the
mental doodles.
We have hyperboles that go on forever.
I've had people thought I had hyperboles, too.
Now, are you bragging or complaining, big boy?
Both. I'm both. You can do both. Because Mental Doodle said I can be right and I can be happy. So, there.
Well, how very doodle-ish of you.
I want you to tell me what would be the description of what I am looking at under a black light that turns orange.
A form of lysine.
So lysine turns orange under a black light. Would there be Is that lysine recognizable by certain organizations that specialize in looking for things?
No. They won't find it. You can have them look. They won't find it.
What turns silver white under a black light?
Lysine protein. L amino acids.
I'm not familiar with the designation of L amino acids. Is it just a category of amino acids?
Suffering. No, you have to get, because you have access to the mental doodle, put it on your piece of paper, and you can find a Googler on that list, and it'll find it for you.
Have you put it in the Wikipedia yet?
Yes.
Put that in the Wikipedia?
H2N. With an O, H, and an O, and it comes down. It looks like a very broken walking stick. Mm-hmm. You have to get some condoms. The AAA and the AAG. Just saying.
And it's just saying, okay, so practice safe amino acids. Very good. Okay. Anything to add to that?
Tryptophan.
Is this the form of tryptophan that poor little turkeys have been saddled with as the sleepy drug that you have after the big Thanksgiving dinners, or as L-tryptophan in the same family?
No, this is the niacin B vitamin version.
Is that the sleepy tryptophan, or what other properties does that tryptophan have?
It's an amino acid.
Okay, Ion, you passed. Bob, that was my test for Ion today, and then Ion passed with flying.
Okay, it's parentheses 2S, close parentheses, minus 2, amino, dash 3, parentheses 1H, endol 3.
You said endol 3? N-O 3?
Endo 3. YL. The molecular formula, wait for this now, is C11H12N2O2.
CHNO2.
Mm-hmm. UGC would be its genetic codon.
That makes it traceable, then, if it has a genetic codon. Is that correct?
But, of course, so is ascension.
Well, if I keep reading more of these mental doodles, yeah, I won't even need to call into this show anymore. You know that, so.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. You'd have to go to Perfect Imperfection.
Perfect Imperfection. Hmm.
Is that the next song?
You say you don't like me, so shut up or kill me. It's yummy.
And many moons ago, we talked about this drought in California, and you were describing to someone on the phone here about a deal for land going through, and we wanted to wait this and this and this for to happening. And it looks like in this last week, a low-pressure area has pushed a lot of rain through California. Would that indicate that this land deal you had referred to then has gone through that would release the rains to come into the California area, or was this just a little blip on the radar?
It's just a little blip. And until DuPont solves this query with Triad, it's going to be very, very thirsty in California. Hey, the grapes of wrath got nothing on us.
Now, water being moderately.
Hold on. Easy.
What's the topic, Cal?
Okay, let's be clear. We already said everything's going to blow up that can blow up. We already said everything's going to crash, it's going to crash. We already said that the dam track was going to blow. We already said that Mount St. Helens was capping again and going to blow again. We already played Johnny Cash's Ring of Fire. We already told you the sea was going to turn red. We already told you Bob's going to split the sea. We already told you that everything's going to, blood's going to run in this, under the doorpost, and people's guts going to be slung in the roadside ditch, and that Nepal was going to blow inside itself, completely consuming itself, that most of the artifacts would be dispelled to the universe. We already said all that. Then it happened, and then y'all can't figure out that American Pharoah was going to win the Derby even after it won the Derby. Astounding to us.
Yeah, there's another Nepal earthquake.
I did it again.
Bob, yeah, give Nepal a rest, for God's sakes, man.
Yeah, well,
showing all the images
of
the Buddhas being crashed up and everything. Damn.
And some of those we just put there last week.
Mm.
Now, as the person who owns the major brick manufacturing facilities in Nepal or in that area, Kathmandu, responsible for these earthquakes, he just wants to increase business.
No, those structures are from the 1600s, so no. And they'll never be retrieved. No. It will be a
what
barren,
I heard you
particle wasteland.
Never to be rebuilt? Or as in never as in a small N?
We'll see. We haven't decided. We'll ask Bob.
You said it would disperse artifacts around the world. Has this earthquake in Nepal? It has. What I hear you saying is some things are going to be uncovered that have not been previously seen for some moments in...
Ever. Yeah, because see, they get put there. This is the reason to look for them. Who the fuck's been looking in Nepal for anything for, say, the last 1,000 years? Nobody.
Sir. And we're going to find stuff, Carol? Is that what he said?
Yep.
We're going to get stuff. We're not going to find stuff. We're going to get stuff.
Is there a description of the culture or the civilization that put those artifacts there that is in our history, or is it a civilization, a culture that we have no history of? Or is it a time thing that we put there in the past?
That's good. That's nice, but no. You got to write it, and then you decide if it's going to be historical enough or not. Then you'll go in your future for your past and note it so you'll remember it when you got to it the last time, the next time that you hadn't seen it yet before. Or
right, if we've never seen
it. If it's there, then it is. then it's got to be in the Googler. And if it's in the Googler, if it's in the cloud, you'll accept it as is. Even though it's not, you'll accept it as is. It's just like the ridiculous Herbert Marshall McLuhan. As long as somebody writes shit down, you think it's right. So it's okay to write it down. You can write anything crazy thing you want, and that'll become the meme. And then the mean meme that'll turn around and bite you in your ass. Nice.
Nice.
So if artifacts have never been seen, then we couldn't call them artifacts because we just don't know their origin. We don't know.
You find things every day, and then all of a sudden you piece them back together, and the next thing you know, they can flip a Kodak photograph of a woolly mammoth, and you've never seen one in 10 million years. And yet you've got a picture of it right there, and they can reconstruct it down. They can find one corner of one chip molar that had a root canal done on it, and they can tell you exactly what the wildebeest.
That's right. During a blue moon, and we know how many babies they had. That's right. Yes.
And they took a very prolific defecating dump, and they could tell you what they ate for dinner.
Well, that's not too hard. Petrified dung is reasonably easy to analyze.
There it is.
Carol and I have a project. I think we should start it before Ion disappears. We want to mute everybody and explore something that come up. It's of relevance to everybody. You know, have you finished your topic?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, Ion. Thank you, Bob, Carolyn.
All right.
You're welcome. Okay. Always, you're welcome.
So this is going to be fireplace.
We love us and Ginny Bill.
So we have a fireplace. What is it? Fire chat with Dr. Dean. But I'm going to be part of this.
Called a fireside chat. Just like in Hoover days.
You mean Roosevelt days. Fireside.
We like Hoover days. It was the slaving days.
Did you know that you were just speaking with Greg, not Ginny?
No, we do know that, but we said we love us some Ginny Bell. Sometimes we say that just anyway, that we love us some Ginny Bell. We don't have any reason to. We just say that because that's the way we think about it.
That's one of the things we have in common, Ion.
That's right. That's right. There you go. Shut up or kill
me. Nice save.
But of course.
Okay, I am. We're going to try to create, in a way, it's a potential recording we sell. I've come across a very interesting essay, which we can extract from many themes that we have seemed to have developed with you. It's about the heart. What is it? The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. This is an essay called The Connective Heart by Cristina Miranda de Almeida, a professor in Barcelona. She edited a book with Derek de Kirchhoff called The Point of Being, and it's an attempt to scientifically analyze tactility. So Cristina Miranda de Almeida writes this 80-page essay gathering together all the research on tactility mixed in with scholarly quotes from all over ancient philosophies and culture. We know that Ion says the heart. Is that the inner kingdom, Carolyn? The heart, the inner kingdom? Do you refer to it that way, Ion?
Middle kingdom.
Well, that fits this essay. Now, she is going to use the word soul a lot, and we have our particular definition that Ion has expressed. She's not aware of that definition, so we would ask you to ride your objection at the beginning, take what she means by soul and what she relates it to so we can get into some of these quotes and you can respond helpfully or negatively or whatever is your want. And what's interesting, they bring in the effect of the alphabet on the heart. So, Carolyn, would you have a section you want to read first?
Well, there's a lot of repetition. It does.
Right. We want to find a good definition. So maybe go forward to the definition of the heart.
The heart has the unique characteristic.
You can't read. Let me do it. Can you read? I've read the book. Do you want to mute? Let me get it out clearly.
Yes.
Okay, then you can ask questions. Okay. This is on page 216 of the book, The Point of Being, by de Kerckhoff and D. L. Almeida. Ion, I'm addressing you. The heart has a unique characteristic of being a multidimensional five-folded transducer. At the bottom, a transducer is defined as any device that converts one type of energy or physical attribute into various other forms. So, the heart has a unique characteristic of being a multidimensional five-folded transducer, both physical and subtle, both broadcaster and receptor, and also an intercommunicator. On the one hand, the heart belongs to a hybrid domain, as it is a physical organ in our circulatory system, and at the same time, it is the place of the subtle chakra Anahata. On the other hand, it displays other features. Ion, could you comment on that definition at the beginning of our essay?
It's faulty.
Okay. We'd like to know the details. Is it a transducer? Is it fivefold? You can ask the words, Carol. Ask
Ion. Is the heart a multidimensional five-folded transducer, Ion?
No, it's not a transducer. Give a definition of a transducer, and we can't ever attach it to a heart.
And the definition of the transducer is any device that converts one type of energy or physical attribute into various other forms.
It does not convert it into different forms.
What did you just say, Ion? What idea are they getting at, Ion?
A false premise. They're trying to make the heart be a organ of the soul. They're trying to make the heart hold a transducive position between the three kingdoms. They're trying to blend eternity into a segue position or partition of your little man state. They're trying to take the pericardium and include it so that if you ascend on the Emmaus Road, that your heart strings would be plucked, and that would be the representation of how you knew all along to come back to God. But boy, that'd be a stretch from those wickedly written words, wouldn't it?
No, that's very good, Carolyn.
Yeah, that's
exactly what she attempts to do in this 80-page essay, so that's very precise. But granted that, let's go into some of the science and different things she quotes, and you can make subset corrections. Well, okay, what is the heart's role then if it's not that, Ion, what you just said, quoting her? No, you ask the questions, Carolyn.
You can't do that, Bob. You can't ask a question, Ion, I'd answer, and tell me to ask the same question.
Yeah, you do it. He's going to answer you. I can't afford these long silences. Let's get you ask the questions.
She goes on to talk about the heart in the various philosophies. To me, it's just as you say, Ion, she's trying to make a case for the heart being the soul, being the non-physical, being the way to get love back into science. And it is based on a false premise.
Well, what's the false premise?
And what's the false premise that we're talking about here, Ion?
That your little man meat sack body has to qualify for an ascension position.
Yeah, she's trying to create the give little man a ticket, right? Here she's got, written 80 pages to prove to you why you're less than, and she's going to help you.
No. Okay, I'm going to support her this way. She says that with the printing press, and the phonetic alphabet is the content of the printing press, we shifted from pre-printing press cultures where the consciousness and perception and cognition were anchored in the heart, came out of the heart, as opposed to the head and brain. Now, McLuhan says there was a split between the head and the heart happened with the printing press. She's building on that and citing ancient cultures and how the heart was the organ of perception and cognition. Forget the soul aspect right now, just that if you make consciousness from the heart, and the electric age is retrieving that, but we still hang on to the alphabetic effect, the printing press effect, of the brain as making perception and cognition. Now, I might say that the image of the body that comes from the printing press is a little man image, what Christina Alameda calls a tri-dimensionality. She's saying we're going to retrieve beyond tri-dimensionality or 3D space with the electric technology. How would you correct that, Ian, or would you agree with that? You do say the printing press is the Dark Ages, and it limited our view of the heart, she says.
How can you have Harold Innes represented in anything that you agree with?
Do I agree? You see, I don't get that I agree with.
No, Harold Innes anyone who can agree with what Harold Innes has to say.
Well, Cristina de Alameda has researched all kinds of traditional cultures and their philosophies and new developments by Rupert Sheldrake and other scientists that point to the phonetic effect that Innes talks about. Okay?
And so Leonard Shane, for Pete's sake?
Yes, that's a weak person to quote, I understand.
Yeah,
it's
really weak.
Phew.
That's scary, you're sitting here looking at this thing.
Hey, Carolyn, look at the back of the essay to see if she quotes Slane. Derek mentioned Slane, but I don't know if she does. So look at the page 292 and look under S, Slane. I don't think she quotes Slane.
Leonard Slane.
Not in the index.
Okay, so he's not quoted. I've heard Derek refer to Slane. Okay, so it's not even mentioned in her essay, Ion. Why don't you quote some of the scientists, Carolyn? Just look at the footnotes.
Well, how I recognized what she was saying was she quotes HeartMath. And HeartMath is where they're using technology, probably mostly biofeedback technology, to do like an electrocardiogram on the heart and equate it with symptoms. HeartMath researchers found that different emotions are associated with distinct patterns of heart rate variation, each of which in turn reflects a particular physiologic state. This is the result of a two-way process. Emotions trigger changes in the autonomic nervous system and hormonal system affecting the heart rhythm, and specific changes in physiological activity generate emotional experience. Thus, emotion and physiology are inextricably interconnected, and by managing one's emotions, it is perhaps possible to manage one's physiologic health. But see, that gets to love is not an emotion.
Well, that's what Ion says. But let's stick with the words that she says, or the scientists you quote, and have Ion comment on that science.
So is she going to the science of the heart just to make a point, but she doesn't have enough information about all the other organs? Like, she doesn't really go into Chinese medicine as I know it.
She can't even represent the International Journal of McLuhan Studies. How is she going to deal with something as broad-minded as ascension?
Okay, don't get personal, Ion. That is true, but it is personal.
That's what this is the point.
Okay, good.
You're taking a false premise and you're trying to lay it out. And you lay it out in such a way that you make it be something, just like we already said. Then you take that something that you said that is, that made, and then you start drawing out these long, vacillating positions that make this thing something that is not. It is not. And then you ask us questions of what we think about it, and we tell you, and then it's like, okay, next case. So it's lacking. It's lacking.
Well, I know you would say that, Ion, but I want to get your response to the science, to the different experiments, if Carolyn can.
I don't know. It's not so much science or experiments. It's just observation.
No, like, there are data. I will come in
The heart is far more than a mechanical pump. According to her, it is a sensory organ, an information encoding and processing center. Well, that's just words. There's no sign
there.
There
is backup.
And it doesn't mean anything, and it's not what it is. It's not a super
chip. Okay, Carol, let me take over.
And
I'm not giving her a fair...
It's okay, but you're looking at the heart and the brain. It's almost...
Would you just read what scientists say? No,
we're having a dialogue.
No, you're not. You're having an agreement.
So you look at the heart and the mind. They're the two highly electrophysical organs, and I make the observation that the mind and the heart are the two areas of the body that doctors try to subdue with their drugs. the highest number of drugs given are for mental conditions and for heart conditions. And it's probably because they can do some measurement of the heart and the mind with EEGs in the brain, electroencephalograms, and EKGs in the heart, electrocardiograms. Is that a fair observation, Ion?
Maybe. But see, we didn't even like the skin of culture either, so maybe that's why we wouldn't like this.
That's the Kirchhoff 1995 book. What do you think of that, Derek? Ion read your book. Okay, so what? I'm going to give them a fair hearing. I'm going to read quotes from the scientists, and it's a comment on the science. So, Carolyn, give me the book. You go on mute. Maybe I know the essay a bit better than you.
If you think you're going to give this recording to Derek, then you're trying to not have an attack on him and her.
We won't be going to Wicklow anytime soon, so Ontario doesn't do anything for us, so it really makes no difference, Dr. Dean.
Now, Derek, I did not tell Ian about Wicklow. Ian just knows everything, so they know about your place. Here are some examples. Talking about the Aztecs. When the Aztecs performed ritual sacrifices, they used to tear out the heart, still beating, hold it high as an offering of the person's teolia, or soul and life. The heart was understood as a physical container for the subtle teolia, that is to say, the special place in which the spiritual dimensions of reality were inscribed in the physical ones. Do you have any quibbles with that statement about what the Aztecs were doing with the heart, Ion?
They were trying to prove that the heart could beat outside the body if it came soon from an ascended state. And it does that. If they're freshly descended, it'll work like that.
Descended?
Oh, but wait.
Sound like you said they took an ascended person and took the heart out to see if it was still beating. Is that what you just said?
No. We said a very recently descended, ascended one. The ritual that you're describing is they take the still beating heart out of that body that's still beating and raise it up as an offering to say, ah, yes, when you were ascended, your heart would beat even without life.
Even when you're ascended, the heart would be without life if you took it out of the body.
No, it would still beat. It would beat without a body. Still beat.
If you were ascended.
Right. And if you just descended as the Aztecs were, then your heart would still beat. And that was the ceremony they were trying to show you that you could, if you were ascended, which to get you back to God, that would work.
You would take the heart out, and if he saw that it wasn't beating, the person was descended and little and pronounced a failure, and not going to ascend. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
up to a point, like...
That's what Leon Androver, Alex Drover, was trying to say.
Is that someone who wrote in the 20th century?
No, it's some ridiculous somebody with this crazy stuff.
Okay. So did they, the way Christina is saying, they offering the person's soul, isn't that partly what you were saying? They were looking at the beating qualities of the soul.
No, they were showing that when you're ascended, your heart will beat outside your body. And this ritual proves that you're descended if they take it out of your body and it stops.
Ah, okay, good. A simple statement. All right, got that.
That sounds like the witch trials. Damned if you do and damned if you don't.
No, but if you're ascended, you can put it back. It still works. You don't force
that's
it.
Pretty good.
Here's the problem with the witch trials. If you're really a witch, you can smoke them. It's great fun.
Did the Aztecs ever witness taking a heart out of somebody who was descended and it kept beating and they put it back in? Did they ever demonstrate that to themselves?
Yes. They did that on all of the Indiana Jones movies. They'd rip the heart out and beat it, and they'd put it back, and they were ascended. It was okay. Indiana would get his hat back, and he'd take his whip, and he'd get the girl, and everybody would come, and it would be a great party.
I don't remember that part, if that was true.
When I looked up my Chinese medicine notes from New York, Jeffrey, my teacher, said that there were reports in 300 B.C. that some Chinese doctor was doing heart transplants back then. Is that true, Ion?
Of course.
That is absolutely true.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And were those ascended people or just ordinary people?
Well, Robin Curtis thought so.
He's some historian?
No, that David Howe, somebody, Sixth Sense crap.
Okay. In her footnote to this part I read you, she says, these Aztec rituals were based in their belief that human beings had three essences, each of them located in a different place in the body. At the top of the head and in the hair was the essence tonali, which controls a person's fate and actions in life. Tiolia, the second essence, housed in the heart, understood as a container for that essence, and in the blood was considered to be a person's soul, the place of the personal sense of existence, the center of life and the seat of thoughts and feelings. There would be no life in the body without Tiolia. Ayoyotl, I-H-I-Y-O-T-L, the third essence is based in the liver and controls personal instincts. So the heart, as the container of Tiolia, used to be offered to empower and praise Aztec gods. With the heart, the gods would receive the life and soul of the person's heart. Now, Ion's pointed out that they weren't doing the ritual for that reason, but these categories, are they actually what the Aztecs believed, Ion?
They were just trying to show you how to get back to God.
By pulling the heart out.
That was just one thing. They had lots of different things to show you how to get back to God and to show you what happened if you were so stupid that you stayed descended. And yet you've been following that moniker for so long that you're waiting to die, so you want to try it again. It's the most ridiculous thing ever.
Okay, but the three categories, Tonali, Tiolia, and Ayoyotl, is that accurate for what the Aztecs believed?
No, okay. Not at all. Didn't believe that at all. It's supposition.
From anthropologists, literate people, questioning,
well,
querying them.
We question their literacy. More like lunacy is better.
Okay, so here is a modern scientist in 1997 writes, a guy named Lynch says, stress, pain, anxiety, fear, and rage sometimes appear in indexes of textbooks on the heart, but never love. Take, for example, the Index Medicus, a scientific journal that annually prints the title and a summary of most medical research articles published in the world. In one four-year period, 1970-1973, over 500,000 research articles were cited in this journal. Only 15 of those articles dealt with the topic of love, all from a psychiatric point of view. Not a single one of those articles discussed any effects of love or lack of love on the heart. Apparently, a peculiar type of intellectual schizophrenia exists between common sense and scientific attitudes when the human heart is considered. Does common sense recognize something that scientists and physicians can't see? Why do we continue to use phrases such as broken heart, heartbroken, heartsick, heartless, and sweetheart? Why do people persist in the notion that their fellow men die of broken hearts when no such diagnoses ever appear on 20th century death certificates? Considering the heart as a place of images, a heart infarction, quote, refers to a heart stuffed with its products and imaginings. Hillman, another professor, sees that there is an analogy between the clogging of the heart by images and theories of heart disease about the narrowing of circulation due to fat accumulation. Anyways, is there a reason why love is not discussed as an aspect in the medical health of 20th century
people? Because love is not a myocardial infarction.
And the scientists are correct to exclude it.
It's okay with us. They aren't right about anything else, but that is.
So she's saying that the emotion of love should be considered in medicine. But you define love as a not an emotion, but a force field. If she means love as an emotion, you would disagree with her term, like you would disagree with her term soul. But whatever she means by the emotion of love, should that be a factor in... Is she retrieving that by finding what cultures thought before the phonetic alphabet and the printing press? Is that what was lost, the emotion of love from the heart?
we don't like your construct, but
right, it's
we
riddled.
Can agree. But don't ask the question again, because you certainly don't get a better answer again.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious, Bob, that science doesn't want to think that they have to sully themselves by talking about emotion, because it's not scientific. So if a patient in a hospital or in a clinic expresses an emotion, they immediately call the psychiatrist.
Well, her thesis is that this deficit of analysis was caused by the printing press and
sure.
the phonetic alphabet. Now, Ian, you've said that the printing press ushered in a dark age. Would you agree that one aspect of the dark age is the elimination of the emotion of love from analysis of disease?
Pumpkin Seed Point by Frank Waters.
Did you say you concede a point?
No. Pumpkin Seed Point by Frank Waters. Is that a song?
It's a book.
Good. We don't have to play the song. So she says the electric age and extension of tactility, which is the gap, which is much like the heart. The heart operates in the gap between worlds. The soul is another word for that. Would you say there's another part of the body that operates as the gap between the physical and the spiritual and the mental?
The hypothalamus.
So what she's attributing to the heart, it happens in the hypothalamus.
Is that correct?
That's correct. That is correct.
All right, Karen, I'll let you question a bit about the hypothalamus for a couple of minutes.
Okay, so let's look up the hypothalamus. It is a portion of the brain that contains a number of small nuclei with a variety of functions. One of the most important functions is to link the nervous system to the endocrine system via the pituitary gland. The hypothalamus is located behind the thalamus, just above the brain stem, and is part of the limbic system. Responsible for certain metabolic processes and other activities of the autonomic nervous system. Okay, so what strikes me with all this, Bob, is that in early days, they didn't probably even know there was a hypothalamus. They just saw the internal organs. They focused on the heart and the lungs, the liver and spleen.
Are you talking about the Egyptians?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's just ask Ion. Did they know about the role of the hypothalamus, the Egyptians, Ion?
Yes, they removed it and put it in little jars.
They were doing what the Aztecs were doing, but they were working with the correct organ.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Well, were they giving it these properties, describing these functions back then?
Yes.
Did they know that it was the seat of the soul rather than the heart being the seat of the so-called soul?
They did. That's why they put it in a different jar.
Wouldn't that have made them say, though, that the mind is the seat of the soul? Instead of the heart?
No, because they knew better.
And what did they know better?
How it connected.
Okay, Karen, here's an aspect. Christina talks about the role of blood in the heart circulation and how it's intimately synced with the breathing in the lungs. And she'll notice that ancient cultures linked breath with the heart. Did they do that, Ion, or did they link the rhythms of the breathing with the blood and the hypothalamus? Did they do it that way, rather than stopping at the heart? Okay, Karen, you asked that. Is the hypothalamus connected to the blood?
How were they lining up the hypothalamus, the blood, and the heart, Ion?
Through the lipid, the lymphatic system that connected all together.
And were they doing that, or I know you do that, were they actually cognizant of that?
Yes, they were. They soon came from an ascended state, so they could easier put it together.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't come to see Solomon yesterday.
Now, Bob mentioned this as being the Egyptians. was that the main culture that was aware and was ascended?
It's the importance of being earnest. By Oscar Wilde.
But the Egyptians, like the Moabites, knew this. The Hebrews knew this, right? What you're quoting.
Yes, 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 for sure.
Yeah, because those cultures were closer to the fall, the point of fall, and remembered the ascended knowledge more than later cultures like today.
Okay, so is it that this chapter, she's made a conclusion and is trying to prove her conclusion and doesn't have all the facts?
It's kind of like apocalypse and alchemy.
Apocalypse and alchemy.
Yeah.
You're saying and
that alchemy. That ridiculous Northrop Frye and Marshall McLuhan trying to make a point.
Yeah. They are, Derek de Kirchhoff is influenced by Frye and McLuhan.
B.W. Poe.
Definitely, Christina Alameda works with Bruce Powell today. Yes, Bruce Powell replaced Derek de Kirchhoff in Barcelona at the Institute.
And we're just delighted.
And Bruce, I've not told this to Ion, Bruce. This is Ion knowing, demonstrating their awareness of all these factors. Now, in this knowledge of the hypothalamus, does awareness of chromosome 14 in its role, were the Egyptians aware of that?
Yes.
Is chromosome 14 in every cell?
Yes.
So there are cells in the hypothalamus.
Certainly.
Yeah.
When she's trying to say that the heart is the interplay, the switchboard, the interface between spirit and the physical.
The interloping.
That's what you would say. You call it the interloping. She has the result that the heart. What?
Interloping as in interlocutories.
Well, that's an interrupting function, not an interface. So I'm not sure why you're saying
maybe.
It, but I just want to finish this.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Right. So when she says that the heart emits electromagnetic pulses, they connect with other human beings. That's how human beings connect, I guess. Start to be sympathetic or empathetic and connect
they have
somehow.
They have impetus.
So then she says the aura is part of that phenomenon coming out of the heart. She says consciousness and perception and cognition come out of the heart because it's an electromagnetic interface between the spiritual and the physical. So she's attributing all these major processes that we think, because of our literacy, come out of the brain. Would you agree that it's closer to the heart than the brain, even though you don't agree it's the heart, but is the heart a better way to look at the interaction between humans electromagnetically than looking at the brain? But what do you say about that notion that she's trying to retrieve?
She's trying to make a connection and it just doesn't reach. You can't bridge it. You can't get there. So they're faulting from the beginning and what she's trying to connect to. The words are really nice, but they're just words. They don't apply to anything. Sorry.
Isn't it an effect of literacy to string words together like she does and make a synthesis? That's the printed illusion, right? You can do that, almost make a formula. This equals that equals this equals that equals this. That's the literate phenomenon. That's what she's doing, is taking a literate approach to the role of the body. Do you agree with that?
Maybe, but it's faulting.
It's what? Faulting?
Faulty.
Yeah,
faulty.
I understand that.
Faulty towers.
Right. So then what is the role of pericardium?
Jacob.
Is that more important?
Jacob's room, Virginia Woolf.
All right, good. But the pericardium, when Carolyn first read Christina's work, she says, well, she's talking about the heart in general and missing out the role of the pericardium. Ask about the pericardium. What is its role, Carolyn?
Yeah, the pericardium shuts the heart apart. So I can almost see where someone would say the heart is like a central depot, not a transducer, but a central, like Grand Central Station. The heart just sits there receiving messages from the brain, from the blood, from the external.
Where's the pericardium in that process?
Yeah, and what is the function of the heart?
It's the root that is attached to the serous membrane.
So the pericardium is attached. Well, the root. Mm.
Of the serous membrane. Do you know that word?
Well, the pericardium is just the membrane. It's just a bag. So you're just telling me that the bag is attached to the heart.
No, it's not attached to the heart. It's attached to the serous membrane, lined with the serous membrane. The sac is what's connected to the body. The heart's not connected to the body at all.
Right.
The heart floats?
In pericardial fluid.
As a floating object, does that make it more electromagnetic and able to have a frequency that creates these effects that we see?
Not the effects that we see. But you have the serous pericardium, the fibrous pericardium, the membrane between those two is where that electroconductivity resides.
So the electroconductivity she's talking about, electromagnetic waves and pulses and broadcasting, is in the pericardium, Carol? Is that what he just said?
In
the distance in between the thoracics.
That little connecting area.
The serous membrane?
There's a serous membrane and a fibrous membrane.
And which one does electroconductivity?
Between the two of those.
So there's the gap. There's the tactility.
Now, she's making a big deal out of the gap and the tactile interval. That is, if she's going to talk about it, that's what you talk about.
Visceral and the parietal. And the serous.
Visceral and parietal.
Here it is. The fibrocerosis sac enclosing the heart and the roots of the great vessels consists of two layers, the visceral layer or epicardium immediately surrounding the heart and the outer parietal layer which forms a sac and is lined with a serous membrane, also called the heart sac. It makes me think of, you know, in the spaceships, they put you in a chamber and the doors are shut on either side and they suck the air out of that chamber and then you go to the next chamber. So it's like a double membrane enclosure. So that's where Ayn has always said the heart is just not part of the body. It's behind two layers of sac.
You agree with that, Ayn, what she just said?
Yes. Yeah, that's what we said. So certainly we do. And the electroconductivity that she's speaking about has to do with the distance between the outside fibrous and the inside sac.
The parietal.
Serous.
Parietal.
Parietal.
Okay, so that little... Sorry, I missed that.
The heart of thoracics.